help us to appreciate the sacrifices that are made for us. Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand that you call us to be people who sacrifice for others. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to engage that tonight, that we would get a better understanding of what it is you've called us to and what you call us to do. Lord, I thank you for this country. I thank you for the ability to speak the words of Jesus Christ and the Bible here in a public building. I thank you for that opportunity, and I just thank you for the time you've given us and pray that it would be a time that advances your kingdom, a time that's used well, that people's lives would be changed, that people would find truth, they would find understanding. Lord, we leave ourselves in your hands. Amen. Well, when you came in tonight, you were handed an outline, hopefully. I'm sure you were, by my friend Mr. Randy, who takes care of that for me every week. He's my partner in ministry. Now would be a good time for you to get that out and take notes. We are walking with Jesus, this series. We're walking with Jesus on his 3.5-year ministry journey. And as we have seen, Jesus has objectives. He has objectives that are driving him on his journey. We've talked a little about these. Just to recap, we saw that he is, number one, he is proving that he is the Messiah. He is the Son of God, and he is proving that through miracles and signs. Another one of his objectives, number two, is that he is teaching, and he is instructing, and he is revealing truths about God to us, that we can see who God is. He says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. A third objective of Jesus is that he lived a life of example for us, a life that we can emulate so that we may have this life to the full that Jesus promised in John 10:10. A fourth objective is also that he is establishing a perspective of the next life, that this isn't it, gang. This is not it. We're aliens here. He's the life that he is going to make possible for us by dying on the cross, and that we can engage that and we can have that by humbling ourselves and asking him to forgive our sins with what he did on the cross. Well, tonight in this journey, on this walk with Jesus, we arrive at Matthew 9. Verse 35 and 38, and I have this on your outline for you. This passage is very engaging because it tells us what's going on inside Jesus' mind. It tells us what's going on inside Jesus' heart, and we get a glimpse of what Jesus desires, what he desires for the future and for you and me today, all these years later. Let's pick up at verse 35. It says, Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. Now, I want to stop right there for a second, just really to get, want you to get your hands around what Jesus is doing and allow this passage to really validate what we've talked about, what Jesus is doing on his ministry walk. It says in this passage that he's teaching in the synagogues. Now, we have said that we've identified one of his objectives as teaching and instructing, revealing truths about God to us. So we're right on with that objective. The verse also says that he is announcing the good news about the kingdom. Another priority that we've identified, establishing a perspective for the next life, the good news that there is eternal life waiting for us and that he is going to make that possible. And the verse also says that he's healing every kind of disease and illness. And we had said, and we looked at our objectives, that his aim was to prove that he was the Son of God through miraculous signs. So, Jesus is doing his job. He's on his journey. He's doing what he wants to do. He's completing his objectives. But then, this verse turns inward. It turns to Jesus' heart. It turns to his feelings and what he's passionate about. From there, we'll go from verse 35 on again. It says, Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom, and he healed every kind of disease and illness. Verse 36, now when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Now, gang, it is very easy to run past that verse and not let the weight of it sink in. And yet, if you do that, if you do run past this, you miss the heart of God, which we don't want to do. When he saw the crowds, it tells us, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless. The first observation point I want to make tonight is that Jesus' reaction was one of compassion. A lot of people think Jesus and God are not compassionate. Well, they're missing the point, and they're missing the heart that the Bible shows us right here. Compassion, this word, let Ms. Shanda pull it up for us. I can't say it, so you can try. But that's the Greek word that's used there. And what it means, we use the word compassion as its definition, but it means a deep feeling in one's innards of sympathy and of sorrow for another. This is what Jesus was feeling. A feeling of distress and pity for the suffering and misfortune of another. And it's accompanied by a strong desire to alleviate the suffering. Jesus saw people, and he was moved to the depths of his soul with compassion and longing to help them. Why was he moved so deeply? What did he see that could have brought such sadness in his soul? They were confused, it tells us. The people were confused and they were helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Second observation point tonight I want to make is that people in this passage here, what Jesus saw, were people were walking through life confused and helpless. Now, I remember being a little boy with my mom, and we would often go shopping at a department store, and the department store we liked the best was a place called Bradley's. Thank you. I didn't create Bradley's, but thank you. We would go to Bradley's, and I remember being just a little guy and being with my mom, and I would always hope to get a pretzel or something good, and along the way as we shopped in and out of the rows of clothes, I got lost. Totally lost. Lost my mom. And I remember that feeling. I remember that feeling of helplessness and confusion. And I can imagine now as an adult what it looks like because I've seen kids in the same shape. I've seen that scared, confused, helpless person wandering around like a sheep without a shepherd, the Bible says. That's what Jesus saw. And I remember that day, I remember there was a lady who reached down, saw me crying, took me by the hand, calmed me down as much as she could, and took me to a place where ultimately I could find my mom. Jesus says that is the way he saw the people when he saw them coming to him. Confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And that moved him deep in his heart. Let me ask you something. Have you ever seen what Jesus saw? Have you ever seen people confused and helpless like Jesus is talking about? I have. I've seen that plenty of times. I see that kind of helpless, confused, sheep without a shepherd attitude in kids who have never been taught or never even seen what wholesome living looks like. And they've certainly never seen it modeled. So they don't know what healthy life is. They don't know what health is, and they don't know what destructive is. Confused, helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. I've seen it other places too, though. I've seen that same thing Jesus saw in people, in parents, trying to struggle to make life in America work. Trying to get and keep a good job, trying to give kids what we feel they need. I've seen parents confused, helpless, being battered like sheep without a shepherd. And if you watch TV much, you'll notice that you can see it again in the society of the United States, in its government. A government that tries to make laws and spends money but can't find a way to make everybody happy. No matter how hard they try and how much they spend and how much they do, they can't make everybody happy. And so they run, confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Well, that was what Jesus saw in the people in front of him. And that is what he longed to fix. So when he saw that, when he saw the crowd, Jesus said, I want to change that badly. I want to give my life for it. You see, gang, you miss all of that if you rush past that verse with a quick reading. But the passage isn't done there. Jesus isn't finished. God isn't done with just that Jesus moved with compassion. It goes a little further. When he saw the crowds, verse 36 says, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. He said to his disciples, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray. Pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. And ask him to send more workers into his fields. The third observation point tonight, point three, is this. Jesus in this verse is asking for more harvesters to go to the fields. With this last statement, Jesus is proclaiming that the cause is not lost. The people are not defiant of a shepherd. Instead, Jesus says that the people are ready. They're ready, these sheep. In fact, the harvest would be great if we would go to them. There are plenty of people who want to accept the gift of God's help. There are a great many who will respond to God's enlightenment. There are sheep who are looking for a shepherd. There's only one thing missing. Workers, harvesters, messengers, inviters. People who are willing to go out into the fields and get the confused and get the helpless. Jesus said, pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields. One more time. Jesus said, pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields. Well, guess what, Westbridge? I did that. I prayed. I prayed to God, asking him for workers who would be willing to go out into the fields and find the confused and the helpless. And the more I asked God for workers, the more I realized that you and me, we are those workers. There's no one else coming, gang. God isn't sending any cavalry over the hill. We're the ones. We're it. We are the ones that Jesus asked for. He told his disciples to pray that more workers would come and go into the fields. And we are the answer. So, with that realization, I asked God to show us, how do you do this kind of thing? How do you do this kind of task? How do we harvest these confused and helpless, Lord? And I didn't let up. I kept praying. Lord, I kept pushing. Up and down, Route 78 to Linden, up and down. Lord, show us. Because I'm ready to see some miracles. I'm ready. I'm ready for an adventure to go on for Jesus. I'm convinced, Westbridge, that you are mission ready. I'm convinced. You see, I believe in this church. I believe that although we are small, I believe we are healthy. I have seen signs that have proved the church's health to me over this last year. I have seen it. I believe we are a church that would welcome someone who is different from us if they came through those doors. I believe we would. Why do I believe that? Because I've watched you do that for 9 years. That's what you've done. We aren't perfect, but I think we're on the right track, accepting people where they are and encouraging them to become all God wants them to be. I also believe that this church is a place that connects people who are confused to God's truth. I believe that. A truth that shows people how God can give them a full life. Life with a purpose. Life with significance. Why do I believe that? Because I have seen people come in here over the last 9 years and lose their confusion. I have seen people learn what it takes to make a marriage work. I have seen people walk in here and learn how to fix broken relationships and learn how to work through tough relational times. I've seen that in 9 years. And I have seen people, through God's truth, find out who they are and what God has designed them to be. Instead of walking around getting buffeted and battered and beaten up by life, I have seen people with God's truth take life by the horns and live it God's way. And I also believe that we are a healthy church that helps those who need a helping hand for a while. Over the life of this church, I have seen money show up at a doorstep for the one who is out of work. I've seen it. I have seen trucks carrying people's belongings to a new home. I have seen childcare and babysitting done for free to help out a parent for a while. Westbridge, we are the workers Jesus is looking to send out. All we need is a plan. A plan that we can all, as a church family, own. A plan that we can all be a part of if you're willing to take it serious. If you're willing to be brave and answer God's call. I believe God has given Westbridge a mission. I believe it. The mission is called this. 1,000 asks. 1,000 asks. I believe God wants us to collectively go out into the fields and make 1,000 invitations. 1,000 asks for people to come learn about God. And gang, here is the invitation we can use. I have packets. These are refrigerator magnets. You probably saw them at the fair, right? Refrigerator magnets. 10 in a packet. 10 invitations to give to people to ask them to come here on Saturday night. Let me just tell you this before we get any further. You don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to be able to answer every question people have. I can't answer every question people have. But I can invite them to Jesus. I can invite them here. I can give them a Bible. I can talk to them. Tell them I meet them for coffee. We can try. You don't have to be a spiritual expert. You can send them to the website for information. Merely invite them. Maybe it'll turn into a wonderful exchange where you do lead a person to a Lord. But I believe our mission is 1,000 asks. Now that might sound crazy. That might sound a little scary. So let me show you. Let me show you what this just might look like sometime over the next 10 weeks. All right, gang, let me make it easy for you. Here are the steps. Here's what we're going to do. After we go through these steps, we're going to give you opportunity to come forward, because up here I have laid out 100 packets. 100 packets, 10 each. Math says that's 1,000 asks. Here's how we do it. If you want to be part of the challenge. Teammates with me, Mr. Robert, Kelly, a bunch of us, if you want to be a part of this, first thing we got to do is we are going to take our packets home and pray. Pray for, number one, divine encounters like you just saw. You see, you don't have to beat the drum on this. You don't have to do cold evangelism if that's hard for you, where you go to somebody and knock on his door, here, take a magnet. You don't have to do that unless that's your thing. That's cool. There's people who do that and had a lot of success. I'm not too good at that. I usually scare people if I do that. Pray for divine encounters like you saw. Maybe there's somebody you help get in their car, put groceries in their car. Maybe there's somebody at school who's always getting picked on. Whoever God brings your way, that is the person you've been praying for. Have your packet with you. One in your wallet, one in your purse, two in your pocket, whatever you want. They're very thin, very easy to do. But pray for divine encounters, okay? First thing. The next thing we're going to do is direct them to the website. This is a big help for you. You don't have to have all the answers. The website is on the magnet, and I went to it this week, and Mr. Steve's been working hard on it. They should be able to get any kind of video they want. They should be able to get all kinds of information. The website is the way you want to go to direct them if they want to come to church. Now, if they want to have a conversation about Jesus, well, you just trust God to give you the right words. He will. We all think we mess those things up. You'd be surprised. Just being loving and kind, you go a long way. But for the 1,000 asks, we're looking to get people to maybe check out the website. Number three, I would encourage you to follow it up. If you could, if it's somebody you know that you can get to, maybe follow it up on Friday night or Saturday and say, hey, church is tomorrow. I just wanted to, we talked about that a little bit this week. Maybe you want to come. Maybe I can give you a ride. Maybe I'll meet you at, somewhere beforehand for a burger or something. We can go, or maybe I'll just meet you at church. I'll be looking for you in the parking lot. But follow it up. And the fourth thing we're going to do is you are going to share your mission story with me. Mr. Steve has it on the website so that you're able to get a hold of me through email. I want to hear your stories. I want to hear what you did with your 10 asks, even each one. I want to see an email come this week from somebody who says, Pastor Drew, you're not going to believe it. I ran into an old school chum, saw him in Walmart. I said, oh boy, I didn't expect this. Well, they're going to think I'm crazy anyway. So I pulled out that magnet, said, here's where I'm going to church, and if you want to come, come on. Be glad to have you. I want to hear those kind of stories, because each week, we're not going to drop this tonight. We're going to keep this going. We're going to keep moving forward, and every week up here, I want to share some of those stories. Maybe we'll turn some of them into dramas, especially if they're real doozies. You guys like the doozies, so we'll see about that too. But our goal isn't really going to have a time frame. I am going to kind of stop talking about this after Thanksgiving, because that's 10 weeks from now to Thanksgiving. 10 weeks. Maybe, right? 10 weeks from now to Thanksgiving. We got 10 asks, and we're going to ask God to show us who to give these to. Each week, we're going to get an update on it, all right? Send me the emails. Let me know what you did with your 10, what you did with your ask that week. Maybe you had two that week. Maybe your whole packet was gone in one day. We got more packets for you, all right? But what we just learned was Jesus is having compassion and longing for people who are confused and helpless, and you see him too. You see people living life who are getting beat up by life. This is about as easy as it gets. To try to go out there and harvest those souls for Jesus Christ. Just invite them where you have some help to do that kind of thing. So I'm going to ask the band to come back. And as they do, as Kelly plays through one of the worship songs, I want you to decide in your heart if you want to be a part of this. Do you want to come up front while Kelly plays and take one of these packets? You don't have to worry about doing the work. God's going to lead you to it. He's the one who said, the fields are ready, the workers are few. He'll show you where that needs to be handed out. So, pray about it, and when you feel ready, come down, take your packet, and we'll get on the mission together.